saying don't say that. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two stories before. I don't usually do it. I'm not a story guy. You know that. Usually, if I do, I botch it up. So I won't do stories today, but I'm going to do both of them. One is a story about last night. Let me do the other story first. When I was born in 1958, I had a really hard time coming into this world. And so much so, I got stuck. And so I didn't want to come out. I couldn't come out. My mother's here back there, hard to believe, but she's still here and still with us, and so I'm glad for that. And as I was coming out, I got stuck, as I said, and it looked pretty bad. The doctor goes to my father and says, which one do you want to save? Do you want to save the baby or do you want to save your wife? And he says, well, of course I want to save my wife, you know. And so I had an aunt who was my mother's sister. Her name was Blanche, and she immediately became she was a nurse, and she went full commando, and she went and she told the doctor, you're going to go in there, and you're going to have a C-section, and you're going to bring that baby out. And so they went about the process of doing that, and when I came out, I'm told that my head was about 20 feet long, and it was for a long time. So that kind of explains why my head's so big, because when it came back, it kind of just did this thing, you know, so... But anyway, I tell you all that to tell you this. My aunt, who was there that day and who is very responsible for me being here today, she passed this last week. She was a very special lady to me and to my mother and to our family. My mom had several sisters, and now she's the last of the sisters. There's one other brother. But she had great love. She had a great love for me. She had a great love for our family, and she had a very big place in our family's life. And so there's going to be a big hole. I told you about another aunt that I had, and her name was Dorothy, and she was one of our prayer people, and she prayed for Brenda and I, and so this is another hole in our family. So I tell you that, not to exaggerate stories, but to just say she was a loving lady, and she did it in a way that was not always, it didn't always seem maybe the best way, but she always got it through. And so thank you, Blanche, and thank you for your part in my life. Last story. Last night, about 8:30, I took Kelsey. Adam and Kelsey were working last night. They were working the musical over at the high school. Adam shoots the technical stuff, and Kelsey was running a camera, and all that stuff. So anyway, we had the kids, and it was time for Mercy to go to bed. And as we were getting ready to go to bed, we were laying down in one of our beds upstairs, and she was like, we'd read so many books, literally like 40 books, and some of them two and three times. And it was like, I was really getting tired. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. So finally, I just said, it's time to go to bed. Let's lay down. So we lay down, and we're in the bed. And I said, God loves you. I love you. Let's go to sleep. And she asked this question, why? Why does God love us? Oh, my goodness. It took 5 minutes for me to continue on. I went on and on and on with her. I told her all the things I could possibly think of, and then she goes, but why? You know. So when we talk about today, we're going to talk about love. And some of you could be saying that, but why? why are we doing that? Because, you know, we understand what love is. But I don't think when it comes to Thanksgiving, we often give it enough cred. And so what I've done today is I've taken Romans 12 that we've been going through, and I skipped ahead last week, and I went to being overcomers. And today we're going to we're going to talk about is the way we love. How do we make an impact in this world? It's the way we love, not why we love, but the way we love. And so it's important to understand as we get a hold of this that we truly understand what it means to love. But why? Well, I'm going to try to explain that to you today a little bit. If you want to get your Bibles, you can turn them to Romans 12. But I've got a lot of scripture today, but they're really short scriptures, and so hopefully you can stay up with me. If you miss a scripture that's up here today, you can go to our Facebook page, and it's on there, all the scriptures that we talk about. The first scripture is this, John 13:35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you blank one another. Of course, you know the fill-in. The fill-in is what? By the way you love one another. But we jump over this one a lot. We take it for granted. We take love for granted. What I want to do with this blank is I want you to think this morning of maybe some people in your life who don't believe in God or who don't aren't currently in love with God. We'll put it that way. Or maybe don't like God. And some people in your life that, you know, all of us have somebody like that, surely. You got somebody in your life. And I want them to be the representation of you being the only person in the world that can show them what love is. How are you doing when it comes to that? How are you loving those people? What is going on as they perceive you and look at you? Is love coming from your actions, not just your lip service? Because most of us say ad nauseum, love ya. First, last thing we see out the door, love ya, 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 love ya. But is there anything behind that love you? Jesus said, by love, everybody will know that you're my disciple. If you love one another, how you treat your brothers and sisters, how you treat people who are hard to love, how you treat people who don't love you, that's how people will know you are one of his disciples. It's an uncommon thing. I want to read a couple of scriptures. Matthew 5 says this, you have heard that said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, okay? So love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I'm telling you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus was all about that. Then the next one, the next scripture. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these, the greatest of all those three, you'd think faith would be up there, but no, it's love. Love is the greatest. Love is the most. Over and over, the theme of the New Testament is loving well, and Jesus puts it very bluntly. This is the way people will know that you are mine, if you show them love. We've been studying Romans 12. Last week, as I said, I skipped over this part, and so now we're going back up to it. As this word sincere, we're gonna read this. Romans 12 puts it, 12:9, love must be sincere. And then it goes on in verse, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Now just keep that up there. Let's talk about this first phrase, love must be sincere. Many versions say it's love must be genuine. Genuine. It's translated mostly as genuine or sincere. Let love be sincere. That's an important thing. I'm sorry. I'm going to take one more sip, and hopefully that bug will leave. And so if we're to take that and take it seriously, what we have to understand here is that Romans 12 says this. If you look what that word sincere, genuine translates in the language, you know what it means? Without wax. Without wax. That's kind of weird. Without wax. So Paul's telling you, let your love be without wax. What does that mean? What's going on here? It sounds kind of weird, but why would he tell us to love, let our love be without wax? Well, it goes to do with pottery. It all goes to do with pottery. If you were a potter and you were making a piece of pottery, you would form it. And you might remember this back from when you had that pottery class. Some of you took pottery. I remember taking pottery class. They probably don't do it anymore, but they would take pottery. It was an art class. I'm so sorry. They would take pottery, and you would take it, and you would form it, and then somebody would take and put it in a kiln, and then they'd fire it up. Traditionally, I'm going to cough. Just give me just a second. I am so sorry. Traditionally, when you make those in the kiln, what happens is it cracks. It cracks. And when it cracks, the potter couldn't sell the potter. Like, he didn't want to take and melt it down and start all over again. So you know what he did? He took wax and he stuck it in there, and then he would paint over it. And so you would go to buy that piece, and you would hold it up to the light, and if you could see through that there was cracks in it, you saw the wax. And the wax would show you that it wasn't a good piece, and you didn't want to buy it because it wouldn't hold up. That's how our love is to be able to hold it up to the light. If we see cracks in it, there's an issue. It has to be that's what we're talking about here. That wax is a thing that shows us that our love is not sincere. Most of us don't like phony people. You don't like people who are one way around this way and around you, they're different. We don't like that. And he says our love has to be sincere. It has to have no wax in it. No wax. And so that's what Jesus is calling us to do this Thanksgiving. He's calling us to love people with a no wax kind of love. Paul says you got to love, and if you love, it has to be genuine. No cracks in it. And that's a tough love. So what we're going to do with this passage is we're going to kind of go line by line, and I'm going to take another drink. Boy, I am really sorry. I did this the other night. Here we go. Let's try it again. What? Do you have one? I did this for about 5 minutes the other night, so I hope it doesn't come back. Give me just a second. Yes, I say that, and I agree with that. Okay, here we go. So let's dive in. Let's dive into the next phrase. The next phrase is what it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, okay? Now let's talk about that just a little bit. So we talked about it's being sincere. So if we're going to love like we're supposed to love, we've got to hate evil. It's one of the only times the Bible tells us to hate, and it really means that. It means hate what is evil. I'm so sorry. Okay. When it says hate, it means if you're going to love well, you've got to hate the things that God hates. And there's some things that God hates. Experientially, you all know what I'm talking about. If you ever have a kid or a friend with cancer, you hate cancer, right? Right? You hate cancer. You understand when I say that. If you have an addict in your family or you know an addict, you hate the fentanyl trade. You hate the drug trade. You hate it because you see what it does to that person in your life. If you love your children and you love kids, you hate abuse. You do not want to see any child abused or taken advantage of. If you love life, you hate abortion. You don't like it that we kill. You don't just don't like it. You hate it to the point that you pray for those. You do something. You are sure that you're going to be a person who is going to love well. You have to hate the things that God hates. And this is very, very important. But the biggest evil is not out there. And this is what I want to spend a moment with you today, if I can quit coughing. What I want to spend and talk about this is this. The most evil place that we have, all of us, is this right here. It's our hearts. Our hearts above all are evil. And they are evil things. Wow. Try to get through this. Someone said, the line separating good and evil passes through the human heart. We have to hate evil right here. And the problem is, we get accustomed to evil, right? Evil just kind of comes around and it begins to become a path to us that we let it go. And it just happens. The phrase I found myself saying before goes like this. And see if you can agree with me on this. Probably shouldn't watch that. Probably shouldn't read that. Probably shouldn't listen to that. But it's got a great melody. Probably shouldn't listen to that track. You know, it's got racist language. But it's a good beat. I shouldn't watch that comedian that makes fun of marriage and calls Christians prude. But, you know, they're very funny. And I've said most of those things. We need to be convicted that if we want love to be genuine, we must hate. We must hate what is evil. Right now, I hate my cough. Sorry. It's really bothering me. It's bothering me. Sorry. That's the next one. Let's move on to the next one. C, what I call C, is cling to what is good. Now, each one of these have a different meaning in the original language, and so that's why I find it interesting, and it goes very well with what we're talking about here today. So I'm going to hate what is evil, but I'm going to cling to what is good. So on one coin, if it's hate evil is important, then the other side is hold fast to what is good. Cling to what is good. Hold on to whatever it is that is good. And this phrase, hold fast, can be translated as glue yourself to. Super glue yourself to good. Be sure that good is a part of who you are. Like, super glue yourself to it. And I show you these scriptures that use this same terminology, and there's three of them I want to share with you. 1 Thessalonians 5, hold on to or glue yourself to what is good. Philippians 4, 8, fix your thoughts, glue yourself to what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. And 1 Corinthians 15, hold fast to or glue yourself to the word I preach to you. Cling to it. Hold on to it. The filter for me in figuring out how to cling to what is good is this. It's God's word. And I want to slap some of your wrists today. I want to slap you, just your wrist, not your face, not your butt. You say, why would you slap my butt? I don't know. I'm having trouble with my cough up here, so give me a little grace, okay? All right. What's the filter? It's God's word. And most of you aren't in it. Most of you aren't in it. You're just not. You might look at the app once in a while, and you might breeze through your Bible when you come here a little bit. But I want to ask you, do you start your day with God's word? Do you look for a time that it's important to sit down with him and to converse with him and to listen to him, to listen to his word and to let him kind of speak back to you? Just a second, just a minute. But yet so many of us have a hard time doing that. But we can sit there and get carried on and watching reel after reel after reel. And we find ourselves 30 minutes in, 40 minutes in going, I just spent 40 minutes looking at those reels. When was the last time you did that with God's word? You've got to get in the word, church. The only way you're going to cling to good is to know what God's word said. They used to drill that into us in Bible college all the time. And I thought it was stupid. I thought, well, you know, come on. We can just flip open the Bible and find anything we want to do. But, you know, our mind is a funny thing, and it leads to our heart. Remember, our heart and our mind are connected. And when bad things start happening all around us, we have to be able to say back to Satan, go to hell, Satan. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Because that's what happens in most of our lives. What happens is these thoughts come at us, and we're sitting there, and we're just saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And God says, I gave you the word. I gave you the word. I gave you the word. Refute it back. Say back to it what you need to do. If you're in pain, if you're here grieving, if you're here in despair and fear, there is something for every one of you here today. I'm not asking you to read the Bible in the original version. I'm not asking you to read the Bible in a year. Forget that. That is too big of a goal for most of you that aren't readers. Get something of God's word into you every day. Next week, I'm going to give you 25 days of Christmas, and it's going to be a very short reading assignment, and I'm going to hand it out to each one of you, and hopefully I can get you to download the app if you're not going to take the paper. Here it comes again. So I want you to start at Christmas. When you're thinking about everything else, I want you to you're going to read some things about Jesus. Not long. It's not long. It's very short. And I want some of you to really consider taking that on. Get the word into you. You will cling to good better that way. You will be able to refute back all those things that come at you when you are in the moment. The D part of this verse I call love one another with brotherly affection. Did I get the D? Yeah, there it is. Love one another with brotherly affection. Now you can go back. Gosh. Now, if you brothers, if you have sons, here's what I want to say. You know brotherly love. You understand brotherly love. I got another story coming up in just a second. Brotherly love is really funny. I remember my brother and I, we were 7 years apart, and we weren't close. We weren't close. We love each other. We have each other's backs, but we weren't close. So this wasn't the case for us. But I have a set of grandkids, Isaiah and Emerson. One's 8 and one's about, I don't know, 6. And they're in that phase where they beat the tarnation out of each other all the time. And you look at them and you're going, what in the world is going on there? And they're hitting and they're just, I'm like, and so I've gotten to the point where I either let them go or I go over and pull them apart. And then they say, I've done it a couple times. They say, but we're just playing. I'm like, it doesn't look like you're playing. You know, they're both getting really mad. They're getting really mad. But then to watch them, to watch the two of them, that anybody that comes against the other, man, they sit there and they're there in their corner. You can touch anybody, but you can't touch my brother. That's the kind of thing that I'm looking for today here. That's what God is looking for from you. That you're going to fight. What church doesn't fight? What family doesn't fight? What family doesn't have words and doesn't agree on a lot of stuff? And you can fight all day long, but in the end, you better have that affection. That's a brotherly love. That's a love that stands up and says, no, you can't mess with my brother. Church, this last week, just in our church, there's been so much pain and so much problems and things a lot of us don't even know about. And some of you, you've got things going on, and you come in and you hear somebody else, and you go, yeah, but look, you should hear mine. And we've got bad things that have happened to us left and right, and things are going horrible. And we have to have each other's back and not be the kind of people that don't have each other's backs when it comes to it. And that's where we have to live, and that's where we have to be, church. And one way for you to love each other is to serve each other. And I want to talk about that for just a second in our church here. And you say, this is the part that I really cherish with this church. For the last 22 years, we've had so many musicians and people that stand up on this stage week after week after week. We've had so many people sit up in that booth, so many people that have taken part and given their hard time during the week and during the morning, coming here at 8 o'clock in the morning when it's snowing, when it's raining, when it's beautiful and they could be somewhere else. They come here. 22 years, we've taught hundreds and hundreds of kids on classes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, different things at camp, different things, different places, and you have been a part of that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've had people go on short-term trips. People do go to Jamaica and so many different places all over the United States, all over the world, and you have faithfully served and raised money and done that. Thank you. That's how you show brotherly love and affection. We've had hub volunteers, and before that, hands and feet volunteers that would go and do things in people's homes and help people any way they possibly could. Been doing that for years. Thank you. Thank you. For 22 years, we've had people take meals. We've had people do breakfasts, people who have fed the hungry. We've had people do that time and time again. Thank you. For 20 plus years, we've had people work at camp and serve and bring supplies. Thank you. Thank you. For 17 years, people have decorated and kept our outside looking beautiful. taking care of the grass and the building and all the things that fall apart here on the inside. It just doesn't happen. Somebody does it. And that's some of you. Thank you. We've had people do the flowers, had people do the decorating. We had people do all those kinds of things. Thank you for what you've done. That's brotherly love and affection. It's caring. It's giving your time for somebody else. If I was to have you all raise your hands for some of this, most of you would have your hands raised already several times because you've been a part of these things. 15 years, people have done some kind of coffee and donut thing around here and expressing every week, come fellowship, come be here. Thank you for doing that. Takes extra time to do that. For 22 years, many of you have given tithes and offerings. Thank you, thank you. We've never had to not pay a bill late. Not once, not one time. 22 years, you guys have taken care of that. We've had different servant leaders. We've had different elders. And year after year after year, they get nothing out of it but coming in, working hard, caring about the things that go on here that nobody else knows about or maybe even cares about. It just kind of gets done. Thank you. Thank you. The brotherly love that lays down their own needs to serve something bigger than themselves, that's been this church. It's been an uncommon kind of love. And as I said at the beginning, thank you for allowing me to be your pastor for these last 22 years. Love one another with brotherly affection that says, we're going to fight, we're going to disagree, and we're not going to always like the method, but by God, don't touch my brother, don't touch my sister, and I'm going to stand in the gap for them because of who they are. Lastly, outdo one another in showing honor. That's the next page, I think. Yep. One more time. Go back. Or forward. There you go. Outdo one another in showing honor. Honor means to treat as uncommon. Now, one of the worst things you can do is treat your wife as common. You understand that, right? If you treat your wife as a common commodity in your life, it's not going to be very good around your house. But if you treat them as uncommon, it is a whole different level of love. It's a love that sees some things in them and you care more about them than you do about yourself. That's what uncommon love. A common love is not a good thing. Paul says, if you want to love, you have to love with an uncommon love. To dishonor means to treat somebody as common. That's why I don't treat any person that walks back in into my office during the week. So many people come in there with a story, and they have need. And I treat them all as uncommon. I try my best. And not to look at it as something that's disrupting my day, not as something that's taking away my time from other things valuable, because when they walked in there, they were the most important thing that God put in front of me that time in that place. Don't do that in your own life. Don't treat things commonly. Treat them uncommonly. More than anybody else, you, the church, should understand that, because you were loved uncommonly. Not by me, but by him. It was an uncommon love that is given to us, a love that you did not deserve, because you're a stinker. You're a big stinker. And you stink bad, but Jesus still loves you with an uncommon love in spite of your stink, in spite of the ways that the things that come out of your head, the things that come out of your mouth, the things that go through your head, the things you do to your body and don't do to your body, he still loves you with an uncommon love, and he's calling you and me to unlove or to love those in our paths uncommonly. So each of us here today, if I was to ask you, is there some place you need to grow in regards to this passage that I just read, you better say yes. And you better say, Jesus, during your ministry time today, grow me in this area. Whatever area it is that God's got going through your mind today, where does God want to grow you when it comes to this area of making an impact in the kingdom by having this love that shows us that we are Jesus, or shows others that we belong to Jesus. Love people. love people, love others well. Folks, Jesus loves you uncommonly. You need to love each other uncommonly, and others that he brings into the fellowship, and others that you touch on a daily basis. You will make a difference. You will plant seeds. You may not see it, and you may get kicked sand in your face, and people will throw things and be upset and obscenities and do all kinds of things with you when you show love. But it is your position as a Jesus follower to take what God has given you, the love he's given you, and to give it to other people. And that's what the Thanksgiving is about. It's thanking him for giving us love. Thank him for giving us grace. Thank him for giving us forgiveness so we can forgive people who are hard to forgive. So let's read the whole passage again. I think I framed it in to read it like this. Here's the whole passage of Romans 12 that we just went over. So let your love be genuine, without wax. Hate what is evil. Hold fast, like superglue yourself to what's good. Love one another with loyal, brotherly affection. And outdo one another in treating people as uncommon. Man, if we can continue to do that, God has an incredible future for the church. And he already did his part by loving you and loving me. And so if you're here today and you already aren't following Jesus, Jesus might be calling you to say, I want to investigate, what does this mean to follow Jesus? And you don't have no idea what that means. You have no clue. God may be calling you today to follow him, to let him be your Lord and Savior and boss, and then to be baptized, and then to go out and do it all over again, and over again, and over again. Let's pray together as the band comes. Father in heaven, I pray that you will let some of these things just permeate our souls today. I know I coughed a lot, and I was a distraction. But God, I know there's some things that you want to say to your people today, and I pray that they understand how great the love that you have for them is. I pray today that as they sit in their seats or they're at home watching us today online, God, that you would show them in their hearts and in their minds that you want not just a relationship, you want a life that is given fully over to you, so we can make an impact. God, that is our sole purpose, why you have us here, is to show the glory of who you are. And everywhere you go, you make an impact. Not us shining your glory, us shining your love around. So God, I just pray this morning, if there's one person here that doesn't know you, if there's one person here today that needs to make a change in their life, God, that you will just meet them right in their seats and do that work in them. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.